Kids, you're coming back after. You're going to see this, okay? So, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. This is different. How many places can you go where a whole bunch of people gather in a public place just to watch two people get dunked? I don't know of any other place other than a church where you can go and do that. Why? And we're used to this in churches a little bit. And yet still, when you step back and think about it, this is different. This is very different. Why are we doing this? Why have you all gathered here? Any family and friends? Why have you gathered here for this baptism today? And at one level, this is a simple act of obedience. You know, we often call things like baptism and communion, we call them ordinances. Or on some traditions, if you're from, they call them a sacrament. But in this church, we call them an ordinance. It's something that God has ordained, Christ has ordained that we do. And it says in Matthew 28, where you go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. So we're obeying what God has told us to do. So it's a simple act of obedience. But still, why? Why does God call us to do something like baptism? And the truth is, you know, baptism, like communion, baptism has been called a visual sermon. We are about to witness something very visual, and yet the visible act conveys a timeless truth, a timeless message. And so, Neil and Jason, I didn't warn you of this, but you're going to be preaching this morning just by being baptized. So what is the message that their baptism tells us? What are they saying by being baptized? What truth is baptism meant to display? And we have to look to God's word to answer that question. Let's just pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for calling us to be baptized. And would you guide us this morning as we prepare to witness Neil and Jason taking this step of faith and obedience? Would you guide us all into a fuller understanding of what this means and how you've changed our lives? And we thank you for what you are doing and are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me to Romans 6 in your Bibles, the passage that John just read for us. If in the Pew Bibles, I think it's page number 914, Romans 6. And Paul has just finished, he's writing this letter to the Romans, he's just finished giving a lengthy explanation of what it means to be saved, what it means to be what we call justified. And he says, we're saved by grace. It's not by any works you can do. We're simply saved by God's grace. And no matter how much you sin, God's grace is greater still. And so in Romans 5:20, we read that where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And so even for the most hardened sinner, like the Apostle Paul, who pursued the murder of Christians, God could forgive him. God's grace was greater than his sin. I'm reminded of the hymn that has the line in it, grace that is greater than all our sin. This leads us then to Romans 6, and Paul anticipates a question. So if grace is so free, if God's gift is so not based on works that we can do, if I can be saved simply by grace through faith, then what does it matter how I live? Why not sin? Because then God gets to give me his grace, and that's a good thing, right? God's grace is a good thing. So why not sin? This is how Paul writes it in Romans 6:1. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Why not sin? Why not keep sinning so that God gives me more and more grace? If God's grace is greater than my sin, why not go on sinning? Doesn't matter if we sin. God will forgive, so why not sin more? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? I think we would all agree the answer to that question is no. Of course not. That's what Paul says in verse 2. He says, may it never be. But why? Why not? And Paul's going to answer that question by pointing, of all things, to baptism. There's something about baptism which powerfully declares to us that we cannot keep sinning, that we have been changed. So when Neil and Jason come up here in a few moments, they're saying more than simply, I'm a Christian. The message they're preaching to all of us by their action of being baptized is that their lives and ours have been changed, and so the way we live must change. They're telling us why we as Christians cannot continue in sin so that grace may increase. Look at how Paul answers this question. He says, verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We have died to sin. So how can we continue in sin if we've died to that? What does Paul mean by that? Well, he points us to baptism. Look at verse 3. He says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Now, what's Paul saying here? What's he mean by this? First, what does he mean by the word baptized? The word baptized comes from another word meaning to dip or to immerse. But the word baptized itself refers to more than just a quick dip in and out. Growing up, my grandparents owned a cottage on a lake, and so in summertime, we'd often go to the cottage for a week or two or longer sometimes. And the tradition was, if you were brave or crazy, you'd get up first thing in the morning, first thing you did, you'd roll out of bed, go grab your swimsuit off the line, and go for a dip. Go run and jump in the lake, and then get out of there as quick as you could because it was freezing, and it jolts your senses and it jerks you. That's not what baptism is a reference to. It's not just a quick dip in and out, okay, that was great, done with that, and move on, carry on with life. Well, the idea of baptism is the idea of being immersed, of being plunged into with a lasting change. It's not just a passing experience that leaves you unchanged so you can retreat back to your normal way of life. No, when you are baptized, you are identifying with something or someone. When you're baptized, you are made a part of the one you are baptized into. You are united to the one you are baptized into. So this is a transforming thing. It's not just a quick dip that doesn't change us. This is transforming. We are plunged into a whole new way of living. Who are believers baptized into, according to verse 3? We're baptized into Christ. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus?" In other words, Paul is saying, when you believed in Christ as your Savior, when you repented of your sin and trusted in Christ to forgive you and to give you his life, you were united to him. You were baptized into him. This is no passing encounter with Jesus. It's not a quick in and out and we say, "Well, that was a rush, now I go on my merry way." No, to be baptized into Jesus is to be united with him, and so everything changes. And so what Neil and Jason are going to demonstrate in a moment in a physical way is the reality of what has happened in their lives when they trusted in Christ. They have been united to Jesus. So what does this have to do with Paul's original question? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? He's going to answer that in two ways. When we're baptized into Christ, we are identified with him. We are united with him in two ways. First, we're united with him in his death. Second, we are united with him in his resurrection. We need to understand both in order to understand the picture that baptism gives us. First, we're baptized into his death. Look at verse 3. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" So first of all, baptism symbolizes our connection to Jesus in his death. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of my connection to those nearest and dear in my life, death isn't the first thing that comes to mind. I think of our shared interests, our great conversations, our common faith. I don't think of my primary connection with my wife as being one of death. But this is how Paul starts. He says, you are united to Christ. First and foremost, you have to understand you're united to him in his death. Not only death, but look at, he continues in verse 4. He says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death." So we're identified with Christ, first of all, in that he has died and been buried. This is what is symbolized in baptism. Neil and Jason are going to go down under the water, thus expressing the fact that they have been united with Christ in his death. They have died. When they believed in Christ as their Savior, they died and were buried. And so do all of us here who have trusted in Christ. Now, everyone check your pulse. Okay, we're all still lit. We're all still. So what's Paul saying here? We've been baptized into death. What does he mean by that? Skip down for a moment to verse 6. He says, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." Notice what has died here. It is our old selves who died with Christ on the cross. Who I was before I met Christ, ruled as I was by sin, dominated as I was by sin. That is what has been crucified with Christ. Before we came to Christ, we were all enslaved to sin. Scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin was our master. Paul says to Titus in Titus 3:3 that we were once enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. Sin was our master. That is the old man, enslaved without hope. When we came to Christ, that man died. That woman died. That hopeless, broken, enslaved person was crucified and buried with Christ, never to be raised again. How is that possible? How is that possible? That's what baptism pictures. We know that Christ died for our sins, though he himself knew no sin. God made him to be sin for us. He paid the wages of that sin. So when you and I, when we believe in Jesus for our salvation, we are united to Christ. We are baptized into him. And so his death for sin, we might say, is applied to our lives. And so our old man died with Christ when he died on the cross. So what Neil and Jason are proclaiming to us all when they go under that water is that the old man is dead. Who they used to be, locked as they were in sin, is in the ground. Not because they finally learned to manage sin, not because they have learned to deal with it or come up with some new principle or way of living. No, because they've been united to Christ. And just as he died, so they too have died with him. And so Paul says in verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. And so here we see Paul's answer to his original question. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. We have died to sin with Christ. That's what baptism is a picture of. We have died to sin. Baptism declares that your old person enslaved to sin is dead. So why would you continue living according to its demands? Allow me to attempt an analogy. It's not perfect, but it'll have to suffice. Picture yourself as a slave. You have built up a large debt which you can never repay, and so because of your debt, you're subjected to a cruel master. This master beats you, he orders you around, he gives you hard, menial service to do, and you have no choice but to do as this master says. You serve him many years. One day, the king of the land enters your house, and he pays your entire debt. And he kicks the old master out of the house and says, you're not in charge anymore. Now you owe nothing, and you're free. You're overwhelmed by the grace of the king. But later that very same day, the old master walks back into the house and starts ordering you around again, starts telling you what to do again, starts trying to enforce his cruel standards upon you again. What are you going to do? Would it make any sense for us to say, well, I'll subject myself to the same beating, to the same hard, menial service. I won't object. It's okay, I know the king has set me free, I'll treasure that in my heart, but I'm just going to keep on doing what the old master says. Oh, that makes absolutely no sense. In Paul's words, may it never be, that Christ is the king, and our old master is sin. We used to have to do what sin told us to do. Now Christ has set us free, so why would we still live in it? Why would we keep on obeying what the old master tells us to do? Paul says that old person who you were enslaved to sin is dead. You've been crucified with Christ. You're free. This is Paul's first part of his answer to the question, are we to continue in sin? No, you've died to sin. But there's more. There has to be more. If Christ only died, we have no hope. But the image of baptism does not end in death. Got news for you. Neil and Jason aren't staying underwater this morning. Baptism symbolizes a sharing with Christ in his death, but if that is true, then it is also a sharing with him in his resurrected life. Look with me back at verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Death is just the first part of the amazing change God brings about in our lives when we trust in Jesus. In this visual sermon of baptism, there are two main points, and this is very complex, so stay with me here. Neil and Jason go under the water, that's point one. Neil and Jason come up out of the water, that's point two. End of sermon, that's it. Point one, the old Neil and the old Jason die. Point two, Neil and Jason have been raised to newness of life. And this is each one of our stories for we who have trusted in Christ. The reason Neil and Jason aren't staying under the water is that Christ did not stay in the grave. Baptism means to be identified with Christ, to be united to Christ. So if Christ became sin and died, that my old person enslaved to sin died with him. If Christ was raised from the grave, breaking death's power, never to die again, then I am raised to newness of life as well. So all that I have because of Christ. That's what baptism declares. It doesn't say I've turned over a new leaf, I've tried really hard, I'm a good person, or even simply I love Jesus. No, baptism is a visual sermon of the fact that my only hope, that Jason and Neil's only hope, that for all of us, our only hope is found in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ did not die for our sins, then I'm still sin's slave, and I still have to do what it tells me. My old man has not died. I must still obey sin's demands. In the same way, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, then my faith is worthless, and I am still in my sins. In other words, if the historical event of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, then everything we do here this morning is utterly meaningless. And no amount of moral resolve or noble thoughts can ultimately change anything. Everything that is said and done today and every day in our lives as Christians is absolutely dependent upon the fact that Jesus died and rose again. In other words, we're dependent upon the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done for us. If the gospel is not true, then everything is lost. But if the gospel is true, and it is, then as we trust in Christ, we too are assured that our old man is crucified with him and that we are raised to walk in newness of life. So how is our life made new? How does that work? We said earlier that when Christ died, bearing our sin, when we trusted in him, it's like we died with him. Our old man died with him. Similarly, when Christ rose from the dead, he did so as sin's conqueror, as death's conqueror. Christ did not rise still holding on to our sins. Those are buried and gone, dealt with once and for all at the cross. Christ rose triumphant, having defeated sin, having broken its power, having defeated death, having rendered powerless the devil. Christ rose as a triumphant victor and master over sin and death and all their hosts. And so when we are baptized into Christ, when we trust in Christ, when we believe in Jesus, acknowledging our sin and trusting him as our Savior and Lord, then we are united to him. And so just as he was raised victorious from the grave, so we are raised victorious over sin and death and the devil in our lives. We walk in the same newness of life that Christ had. Christ was not a slave to sin. He dealt with sin at the cross. So for us, sin and death have no mastery over us anymore. We do not have to listen to the old master anymore. We are freed from sin. Not because of us, but because of Christ. Because of his resurrection, his death and resurrection. And that's what Neil and Jason are proclaiming today. They've been raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. Does that mean they never sin? Of course, no. We do. We all sin. We choose to give in to sin's enticement, its temptation, but we do not have to anymore. Because just as Christ was raised from the dead in triumph over sin, as we trust him, we can have victory also. We do not have to listen to the old master anymore. So Paul concludes in verse 8. He says, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I want us to remember that last verse in particular. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the reality when we trust in Christ. Because you've been united to Christ, you are dead to sin and alive to God. Paul says, reckon that to be true. Consider that to be true. When sin tempts you and entices you, remember you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. Consider it to be true. Know it is true in your minds, in your hearts, and live in light of that truth. And so for Neil and Jason, for all of us gathered here, our baptism, this baptism serves as a powerful reminder to us in the future that we do not have to listen to sin's demands. This reminds us of the truth that we are dead to sin, but alive to God. So when sin tempts, remember this baptism. Remember, Neil and Jason have been identified with Christ, have been united to Christ when they trusted in him. Remember that Christ has dealt once and for all with our sin. Remember that he has given us his life. And so Paul answers his question, should we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. May it never be. You have died to sin. Why would you still live in it? This is the reality considered to be true. Let's pray. God, thank you for setting these men free. Thank you that through your death on the cross and your resurrection, you have set Neil and Jason free. God, that is amazing. That is the most wonderful truth any of us can know. We praise you for that because you did that. Jesus Christ did that. And we trust you to do that in our lives. Help them, help all of us who have trusted in Christ as our Savior and Lord to reckon that to be true, to know that that is true, and so to live a changed life because we know that we are dead to sin but alive to God. God, thank you for what you're doing in these men's lives. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church. I pray if there are any here this morning who do not know Christ as their Savior, who have not trusted in Jesus to put their old person to death and to give them new life, I pray that they would trust in you today. God, you are our only hope. The gospel is our only hope. Christ's death and resurrection is our only hope. Help each one here today to understand that, to know that, and to embrace Jesus, to trust in Jesus. And I pray that this baptism would serve as a wonderful reminder for all of us today, and for Neil and Jason in particular. God, in the future, when they are tempted, when they struggle, remind them of this day. Remind them of the beautiful thing you have done in their lives, of the grace, the amazing grace that is greater than all their sin, and how you've called them to walk in a new life. God, we thank you. We praise you. And we want to celebrate that together. So would you bless in the next moments as Neil and Jason walk in obedience to you and are baptized? Would you bless this time? Honor your name among us and help us to rejoice with you in what you are doing. We thank you, God, and we give you all the praise. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Dan, our elder, to come up now, and he's going to introduce our time of baptism together.
Thank you, Jonathan, for sharing with us and showing us some scriptures, what God wants us to do as we are believers in Christ. Hey, as a time now, also, we can take time to pray for one another. If you have something you'd like to pray for, that you'd like us as a congregation to pray with you, we want to do that this morning.